shot him 6 times. What? I shot him 6 times.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Look at him passing the liquor bottle around.
Pour another drink in
Jamie,
my
pull that
ass.
Shit up. Oh! What's going on, guys and gals? Another episode of the Out of Sight in My Mind podcast. Ooh. You're listening to it. Thank you so much. Some more special guests today. We got the boys from And the Polar here.
Woo!
Most of, like 90% of them at least. Go ahead, introduce yourself, fellas. Corey?
Well, this is the Carolina Bad Boy Chapel.
Got Barnaby Jones over here.
Some people call me the Falcon.
Some call him the Gangster of Love.
Let's just call him the Falcon.
Wow! Oh, man. All right. Well, we're talking about the new Tool album today. The last episode I did, as you probably listened to, or you didn't listen to, who the hell cares? We talked about Taylor Swift's new album, Lover, and this is a whole change. And so we have multiple people on this one who, you know, care more about this band than you know, Taylor Swift. Although, Falcon, what'd you give that Taylor Swift album?
It's gonna be a 9.5 out of 10.
And I gave it a 9.25. Chapel, I know
I
you
really
have no
give a shit.
Okay, and Barnaby, I assume you feel the same way?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have not listened to it and probably will not listen to it.
And Barnaby was here during this recording, and I'm sure he was zoned out the whole time.
I dissociated right. About 30 seconds in, and you guys had to bring me back when we were in there.
That's all right. You need to calm down, as Tay-Tay says. All right. So.
Well, first of all. All right.
All right,
say,
Chapel.
One thing I do know about Taylor Swift, and it, you know, it was a very famous meme floating around. It's like, you know, she has lots of songs about breakups, but no songs about blowjobs and anal. So what's the real problem here?
I mean, think we know what's going on.
Can't all be cannibal corpse.
All right, Chapel, just listen to Lover and you'll love it.
No.
All right.
No.
The song Lover. You don't have to listen to the whole album.
No,
just listen to Lover.
There's no way you would love it.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know.
No.
I know. All right.
I think the actual God of Thunder, Thor, not the Marvel Thor, the actual God of Thunder.
Oh, we like Norse, the Marvel
from
Thor,
Norse
too.
Norse mythology would just descend from the sky and smite me in front of all of you if I said I like Taylor Swift.
Nah, he digs.
His Viking blood won't allow it.
Right. Exactly.
He's got all 4 deluxe editions, though.
That's true. I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
I mean, all right. On this episode, I suppose we'll talk about that band that nobody's ever heard of that's trying to, you know, disregard Taylor Swift as a, you know, superstar artist. What, that stupid new band named Tool.
Oh, you mean the one that all the dads like? And it's knocking her album off and knocking, like, Lana Del Rey's album off?
It hasn't
off.
Knocked it off. Guy. That's the time of this recording. Let's just say that. Has not knocked it off.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Got a day left, brother.
Yeah.
A day left.
There's a lot of us late 30-something, 40-something guys out there loving Tool who are helping that cause to get her kick off the fucking charts.
All right, before we talk about the new album, let's go around and ask, let me ask each individual what kind of Tool fan they are and, you know, how big of a Tool fan are you and what got you into Tool?
Okay. Well, I've been a Tool fan since high school, really. Early days, like freshman year of high school. It was sophomore year, really. I think that's when Anima came out. And when Anima came out, I remember there was a dude at school who he had the T-shirt, and on the back of it had the guy basically filleting himself. That, if you didn't really, that's what it looks like.
Hey, man, he could wear that
in the inside cover of Anima.
He could wear that at school.
It was the 90s. It was different.
He got busted big time. Anyways, I like the early stuff a lot. You know, so when I heard Soap for the first time, I was, I was pretty enthralled at 14. You know, Sober and Prison Sex. That whole album, I mean, yeah. For God's sakes, even the one before Opiate was like half live, half studio. Mm-hmm. I really like that stuff, like the live song when you hear Maynard say, "Hey, get that Bob Marley looking motherfucker out of here." I was like, I like this band.
Yeah.
And nothing against Bob Marley, but you don't, at a metal show, you don't want to hear Bob Marley.
No.
You know?
You're there for another reason.
Yeah, but I think he was just making fun of a dude with dreadlocks.
Definitely.
So, but I do like the early days of Opiate and Undertow. Anima is my favorite record.
Okay.
Honestly, and that's my iconic Tool record. It's my iconic sound. I like, that introduced me to Bill Hicks at a young age because they have that, you know, where they sample the Bill Hicks stand-up. Mm-hmm. And they even have Bill Hicks on the inside in the cover, you know, paying homage to him. But that right there for me is my iconic Tool right there. Lateralis for me, a lot of people are going to get mad at me for saying this, but besides the Fibonacci sequence, I don't understand what makes it a better record than Anima. I really don't. It does have some catchy songs for Tool, but overall, as an album, I didn't feel like they stepped above what Anima was, but 10,000 Days did. I felt like 10,000 Days felt like a refreshed-sounding Tool. Maynard was... They talk like he was under in the mix some on that record, but, you know, if you hear songs like, "Who are you to wave your finger?"
The pot.
To me, that shit stands out. And not to get into the new Tool yet, but one of my biggest gripes is I don't hear anything that Maynard's doing that pops for me.
Right.
Maynard's just being Maynard, but, you know, I don't hear, there's not one lyric that just sticks out to me.
Right.
That I can latch on to. It all sounds, he sounds more atmospheric on this record to me than he ever has before.
All right. We'll get to the new album in a minute.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to ask you, what's your favorite all-time Tool song?
4062.
All right. Good song. Barnaby, let's go to you. What type of Tool fan are you? Or what got you into Tool?
So, it was probably like 7th or 8th grade. You know that point where you like start to realize that there's more music than what your parents and grandparents let you listen to, you know, the gospel and the country and whatnot.
That's always a good time to figure out.
Yeah, and it was perfect. And that was right when Lateralis came out. And I remember hearing Schism. It was probably on 106.5. That seemed probably like the station I was listening to at the time. And I was just like blown away. I was like, who the fuck is this band? Holy shit. That bass playing, the guitar playing, the goddamn drumming. God, how many times did they change the time signature in that song? You know, and that was... Falcon always knows. But that was when I was just starting to get into music and whatnot. That it wasn't just like the basic, you know, like country and whatnot. It really blew me away, and then I think like later on that year, like, you know, they released a couple other songs off like Parabola and some of the other things and whatnot. Every time I just heard one, I was like, this is just the greatest band. This is back in the LimeWire days, so I'm pretty sure I gave my computer AIDS to download that Tool album.
LimeWire. Crosswire.
I started digging into things like Corey was talking about, you know, I started getting back to some of the older albums, you know, like, you know, Opiate and digging up some of the older stuff, and the more Tool I heard, the more I loved it. So these guys are just next level talented and whatnot. And then 10,000 Days came out. Like, that was like, you know, during a period where I started, you know, like, you know, partying a little more and whatnot. And, you know, we were listening to the Pot. Like, man, that song just, like, you know, you start like doing that rebelling against everything and whatnot. That song just speaks so much. And there's so much of the album, like Jam B, like, you know, and whatnot. It's just like such a great song. Oh man, just in so many ways.
Great record.
And you got Vicarious and whatnot, and that's such a great message there. And like, it's like, it's such a, and that's solidified me. It's just like, you know, like,
literally.
I don't know if, I wouldn't say Tool's really my favorite band, but fuck, they're making the top 10 easily. With, you know, stuff like I listen to still regularly and whatnot. So yeah, that's, I'm not like the biggest Tool fan, but I will say I'm, you know, not just a casual listener.
Right,
it's
out
pretty
of everybody
regularly.
Here too, I think you're more with me in your style of music that you prefer rather than.
Yeah,
like,
I definitely.
Corey's you mean
metal.
Like Brand New?
What?
Oh, dude, I fucking love Brand New. Like, we can do a podcast.
We'll do a whole podcast.
I'll do one of those. Like,
But, you know, Corey's more of the metal guy, which I like. I was just like, I like everything. Zach's more of the who the fuck knows guy.
I like jazz.
But I know.
And Tay-Tay.
I know Barnaby would be probably the only person here that'd do a whole podcast with me about Fallout Boy.
Oh, dude, but we could, honestly, for me, we'll cut it off at...
I'm really starting to hate you guys.
We'll probably cut off at Cork Tree, because for me, that's when they start to take a turn and whatnot. Yeah. And I don't hate it at all. Like,
I thought we were here talking about
toilet. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. What's this bullshit?
Yeah, that's fair, but yeah.
Listen, like, here, we're getting some background information before we talk about the tool.
I am definitely a fan.
You emos in your girl pants can talk about your shit some other time.
I did used to rock the girl pants. Anyway, that's another show.
As Michael Graves hater over here gives me hell. My point being,
I would say I'm an above average tool fan. If we're going to put a rating on it, like a 7 probably.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll pass it along to Falcon now.
Oh, before you go, Barnaby, before you go, what's your favorite tool song?
Favorite tool song? Oh, Schism.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Falcon, kaka, fuck you. What's up?
Fuck you as well, J.O. O'Hairden.
Oh, just I love Falcon. He's the only one that would ever do a Taylor Swift podcast with me. So.
You got to do some Tay Tay 1 week and cool with him. That's just the way it goes in my life sometimes. I saw Tool first on this weird show called The F List, and it was like. So you remember that shit? They were doing the 10 most disturbing videos, and Schism was on there, and I was it's that one part.
Do you remember what number one was?
I'm pretty sure it was Schism, to be honest with you. I think it was Schism or one of the Marilyn Manson ones. I saw that, and obviously as a bass player, I was like, well, this is pretty fucking interesting. And then, ironically, the next month I got a bass Guitar World, whatever it was called, the magazine that had Justin Chancellor on the front of it. So they were talking about 10,000 Days like 2 years before it was even about to be out. And I was like, well, this is pretty neat. So I went back and looked at the rest of it. And obviously, I mean, there's a lot of really great stuff for Tool. And then, kind of like Barnaby, when 10,000 Days come out, I said, I just remember going to pick it up. And I actually bought two other Tool albums. I think I came home with NMI and Lateralis the same day just because I was like, we were at Best Buy and they were doing some sale. And I remember coming home and putting in 10,000 Days first because I had heard LimeWire. Thank you. You know, the other albums already, but I went ahead and bought it. But I threw in 10,000 Days because it was new. I think we got it like a couple days after it came out.
I did the same thing.
And, you know, that was, I mean, you know, that was it for me. And I was pretty much a fan from the moment I heard Schism. And then we tried to cover it in a band I was in one time. We got pretty far, but you just get really bored during that one slow part of Schism, where it's just da-da-da-da for like 4 minutes. Like, you know, it's just, as a you know, it's really fun at first, and then it just, you know, it's hard to count that much. I couldn't count that much as a musician, as a teenager, man. And I don't know that I feel like counting now.
Right.
So I'm glad Tool's out there doing it for us.
Right.
What's your favorite Tool song?
Probably Jambi.
That's a good song.
Had a Stuff Lion I named after him. Used to sing Beach Boy songs, so it was very strange. But I did have a Stuff Lion named Jambi.
I remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I do. I remember him.
Jambi days.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
I don't want to know what y'all did with Jambi.
Jambi. Listen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He was just really great to have around.
Hell yeah.
We did film a thing with him in, like, on the back of a car at Bojangles one time. But overall, it's the drum beat that he got. Yeah.
Right.
The drum beat to Jambi. That does it for me. I mean,
right.
Your favorite album is 10,000
Days? 10,000 Days. Okay. It takes it for me.
Gotcha.
It could be for me, part of it too is the timing, because I was really just getting into it a couple years before. So getting a new, that's the only new Tool album besides the newest one that I've ever lived to. Understand to know, you know, that I'm excited for it instead of the other ones. Because I was lucky, just because of my age being a little younger, I got the, you know, a lot of options for a lot of bands just to be able to hear their full discographies from the 90s.
Yeah.
So, very lucky to that extent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad I did you last because mine is almost identical. Yeah. That's 10,000 Days is the first full Tool album I have ever heard. And I know that's crazy to old man Corey over
it is,
here.
Like a totally different band
young
at that point.
But, yeah.
I swear, young bitches. But that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, I grew up in the 90s and always knew who Tool was. I had an older brother who listened to Tool all the time. And
you know, you try to go against the grain all the time, like with family members, and especially stuff like that. You're like, sometimes you're like, oh, I want to listen to that because I think he's cool. Mine was the opposite case. I was like, my brother likes that. Yeah, fuck that. I don't want to listen to Tool. It's like, that's probably a shitty band.
I listen to metal. My brother listened to gangster rap.
That, there you go. And I grew up on that too. But
you know, which, by the way, you insulted me by saying I'm just a metal guy.
Well, I mean, I called Zach the whoever the fuck guy, and he hasn't complained about that. So.
And he complains about everything.
Well, wait a damn second.
Listen,
I just praised the Taylor Swift album last week.
He did.
For 40 minutes.
I don't know anything. Other man your age who would do that?
I believe Jay O'Hairden's my name.
I'm right here, oh, no, and I'm a year old. I don't count. I don't count as a person.
I'm sorry, you said man. Sorry.
I'm a woe man. These guys.
Great.
Oh, anyway, before they talk. Anyway, 10,000. So, yeah, 10,000 Days was the album that got me into Tool. But yeah, I knew who Tool was, and after 10,000 Days came out, I looked back at their old discography. 10,000 Days is still my favorite album too, and although I get why, I totally get why everybody that's a Tool fan has totally different opinions on what their favorite album is. But just like 10,000 Days probably wouldn't be my favorite album if that wasn't the introduction I got to it. But
I'm just glad it made you go back and listen.
Well, yeah, album, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, and honestly, you know, like that album came out when Zach and I and Barnaby was in high school, and a lot of people that I hung out with, at least Zach knows, or Falcon knows a hell of a lot of them, and you just get turned off by, you find out certain people like certain things, get turned off. By thing, and I was just like, God, what an overhyped band Tool is.
I didn't appreciate, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd till I got in my 20s, right, because of high school.
Once really you get older, school, though, you form your own opinion. You realize, you're like, yeah,
play Freebird.
Play Freebird.
Freebird's a beautiful song.
I'm going to segue away for just a second to tell a Freebird story.
That's always
working. I was at work. There was a girl at work who heard I didn't like Freebird. And she asked, she was like, how can you not like Freebird?
Give me three steps back, Chapel.
That is un-American. So anyways, she said it's un-American to not like Freebird. And I said, it's not that I don't like Freebird.
Get your green card and get out of here, boy.
I think Freebird is an overplayed song. I said, plus, most people don't know what it's about. I was like, they wrote that song about Dwayne Allman of the Allman Brothers after he had his motorcycle wreck and died. And, you know, that's where they got the idea of the song for.
I never knew that.
Right. And then she looked at me and she said, who are the Allman Brothers? And I went,
fuck that bitch.
I said, I said,
you ain't ever going to be on the podcast.
I literally looked at her, I said, get the fuck away from me. You called me un-American for not liking Freebird. You're un-American for not knowing who the Allman Brothers are.
Well, that's straight up terrorism.
Right. Straight up terrorism. Anyways. Now back. We can get back to the Tool. Sorry.
Since you've been talking about Lynyrd Skynyrd. Hey, Falcon, what do you think my favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd song is? And why do you think? What movie is a Lynyrd Skynyrd song?
Tuesday's Gone, probably because of Happy Gilmore.
There you go. That's why I love it.
Which is also the reason.
Sweet Home Alabama, Forrest Gump.
Literally, the reason I listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd is Happy Gilmore. So props to Adam Sandler.
Agreed. I'm the same way.
If I had not heard that,
you would know that.
My name is Happy Gilmore.
I heard Tuesday's Gone on the Days of Confused soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, my dad listened to Skynyrd, but I don't think I paid attention. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, when you're a certain age, you don't pay attention to what, you know, I don't want to like what my dad likes. I want to like what I like.
Right, but
you know, but then it came, but when I got older, I started liking that shit.
Speaking of Happy Gilmore, you know, we could do a whole podcast about how great the music is in Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
from Yes to Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know what I mean? Like, a lot
Kansas
of Yes.
Kansas in there. Like, Kansas. I mean, like, that's the best.
We could do a whole episode just about Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison combined.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can we write that down? Can we bring that at some point?
Yeah. Write that down on the podcast. Jamie, pull that up.
Jamie, put that on the list for us. We're going to do a podcast about Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and how great they are musically.
Jordan, you have lost control.
Lost control.
Not a control.
Let's get this album.
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Talking about
Inoculum. Fear Inoculum. How you say that word? How you say it, Chapel?
Fear inoculated.
That's that new Tool album. You know, they're trying to disgrace Tay-Tay. Let's talk about it. Chapel, oh. Go ahead. Give me your initial thought. Give me your initial thoughts first for first, the first for the first listen.
I've listened to it a handful of times now. And, you know, my opinion is kind of the same. It's songs have grown on me more, and I like the songs better now. Certain ones like Invincible or...
that still has grown.
Really? Invincible. Yeah, Invincible just grew on me.
I like that one.
Barnaby just played it.
So, but I like that one. Anyways, well, for me, still like Tempest is the best song. But here's first listen. This is how I felt. Okay, the opening track is the title track, Fear Inoculum, the song. Okay, am I wrong in thinking that did they have a song called Lateralis on the Lateralis?
They did. It says a single, and it didn't do super well.
It didn't do, yeah.
But I do like
it. It's like
song.
11 minutes. Though,
it's
so
like
it been wild
it's like the it's only. Definitely it's, better this than is Fear the only Inoculum. Time I remember them doing like a title track. Like they had Anima was the album, but the one song was Enema, and it was sort of the same with the A and E, you know. But, you know, Lateralis and Fear Inoculum is the only time I know they do a title track. And for me, that's kind of lame for Tool, like, to do a title track. Like, that seems like such a thing any band would do. Black Sabbath, you know. Not that that's not cool for me, but at the same time, it's something that's been done so many times, you figure Tool would not do a title track.
And for 13 years,
I know that sounds pretentious, probably.
Because for 13 years, you think they could think of a better song title.
I feel it's lazy. I do. I feel they could have named it something else. But maybe there's more reasoning behind it. I don't know. But for me, like, okay, started Fear Inoculum. I done heard it because that was the song they put out before the album came out. So I was like, okay, I like the song. I like what we were talking about, the djembe drums and stuff. It's really cool. It's really that, but at the same time, it's like, as cool as that is, that's something I've heard from Tool already. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, there's going to be the things that we want to hear from Tool that's their signature shit. But if you're not doing anything outside of that, I have a problem with it because I don't feel like you've grown as an artist. I just don't. And people will argue with me, I'm sure. But, okay, Fear Inoculum, it's a good opening song. But like I said, I heard it, so I was ready to get to number two. Is it Numa?
Numa, yeah.
Numa is...
And also, that's that thought that you just said. That's not a thought you want listening to a Tool album.
No, you want to
because
think...
the songs are so long.
Exactly.
And you, it's supposed
well, especially
to be,
this album.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be an experience, and
every
you don't want to
like,
say, okay, next.
Yeah. But like Numa was cool because it felt like felt like an old school Tool song, but to me it didn't show me anything new. It was just like it could have been on an older album.
It sounded like vintage Tool to me,
and it was like it's not that I didn't like the song. I was just like, okay, we're two songs in, I need something, but. My biggest complaint is the filler tracks that are only like a couple minutes. Like, I could go the rest of my life without ever hearing Mocking Beat.
Chocolate Chip Trip is the best of them, but it's still horrible.
But, well, it's horrible in the beginning because honestly.
The drums are, yeah.
Yeah, when Dana Carey comes in, I love that part. I was like, I almost was like, I looked at Lita, you know, Lady Chapel. I was like, I want to skip this track. I really want to skip this track. And then the drums came in, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And now I like that song better now, but I still hate the build-up to the drum part. I was like, I like it all together.
It's too long.
But, yeah, but all their little filler shit, they could have done without. I didn't wait 13 years to hear three or four little filler tracks or nothing.
It sounds like, so we just bought a synthesizer last year for you in Polar Studio. It's like, you can just sit there and then 10 minutes get lost. Sounds and stuff. And that's what I feel like they did.
Yeah.
That like someone just had the synth and was like, you know what? Let's track it. Let's do this shit.
Yeah, that literally lasted for 13 years.
Yeah. I feel like that's just what they did. I mean, I agree completely. All that stuff is what makes me really kind of have some anger towards this album. It's all those tracks were wasted.
Yeah, wasted tracks for me and wasted time. And I was like, you know, for me, and this is still on my first listen. Like I said, I've given it more listens and you know, certain things have grown on me more, but at the same time, I sort of still have the same opinion. My opinion is it feels like a giant build-up to Tempest,
and Tempest is the best song on the whole thing. And then they end it with Mockingbee, and it pisses me off.
It's a bad ending.
It's such a bad ending. Yeah.
It might be the worst last
time. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
But Tempest is amazing. Adam Jones does some really good guitar work for what he, you know, outside of like the same old shit you always hear Adam do. And I'm sorry, I don't think Adam is the greatest guitar player of all time. I never have. But I think he's an intricate guitar player. I think he does little nuances and shit.
Yeah, there's some really cool things on there. But
put me on this album. I thought his guitar playing was garbage.
Really?
Really? It's simple. I thought there was some cool parts.
It's crap power chords. They're just, I mean, they're not for Tool. Like I said, I expect Tool, as a musician, I expect Tool to just, like, blow my fucking mind.
Right, and I think that's the thing we need to get out there, too, is that probably being more hard on this album, because it's Tool.
Yeah.
And that you, especially waiting 13 years, you're expecting something that has to be factored in somehow.
Well, you know, Maynard said in an interview or whatever, but, you know, Maynard, he's a comedian too, so he likes just to fuck with people. But he's like, you know, the album would have been great 9 years ago, you know, but it took this long to make it.
Right.
And, but, you know, here's the overall, like I said, Tempest, that's my favorite song on the record. Like I said, that's some of the best guitar I've heard Adam Jones do in a while. I like it as a whole. But, like you said, the rest of the album is kind of just normal shit for Adam. And I don't think he doesn't go well. Maybe in Invincible he does some cool stuff, but like overall, like the other stuff, it's
boring. I'm sorry, it's just boring. So Tempest is your favorite song?
But Tempest is awesome. Tempest is, but at the same time, like I said, now that I've listened to the record, I can put it on and I can be like, you know, I don't really hate a lot of the songs, not the filler tracks. I hate the filler tracks.
But say you had to make a list of, you know, your top 10 Tool songs, would Tempest even be on there?
Yeah, Tempest would probably be
top
on
top 10?
It. Yeah.
Top 5?
No.
Okay.
No, but it would make my top 10. I would definitely, because I love, to me, that's the...
Yeah, I don't hate
the one thing about the Tool record, at least, because my one thing is it has to have, like, you know, the orgasm, so to speak. Right. You have to have that. You know, you have to have, you know, it has to build up to something. You know what I mean? My problem is the whole album feels like a giant build up to Tempest, and Tempest is basically the orgasm.
It doesn't go anywhere, really.
Yeah.
It's like really unsatisfying.
And then Mockingbird is when you ask your lady to go make you a sandwich afterwards.
Mockingbee, you Tool noob.
Mockingbee, yeah, my
Tool
bad.
Noob.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to forget that song. If you could call it a song, it's a track.
It's not a song.
It's a sound for 2.5 minutes.
It's just garbage.
Which it is better, like I was telling Barnaby and Falcon earlier, if you listen to the album backwards.
And I've heard a lot of people say that.
The tracks backwards, that is.
I've heard people say
that. So you get
that
out of the way.
Right, right. You listen to it that way.
You can just think of it as, this is the beginning of an album.
Ended with Fear and
Hope. Yeah. Last thing for you, old Chapel.
Uh-oh.
We're doing, I know, as I was telling Falcon earlier in our earlier episode of Tay-Tay, usually, you know, music reviewers give 5-star ratings. I'm going to go with a 10 here just to give more leeway. What do you get, after listening to it for a couple times, what do you give it out of 10?
Maybe a 6 or a 7.
Fair enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty high. I felt that was low.
Well, it's not what I want. I want it to be higher.
But like I said, I've listened to it. It's good. It's good, you know, if I'm just got in the background, listen to it. Because, like I said, too, I felt like Maynard's vocals are too atmospheric. You know
There's
what I mean?
No melodies across the whole album. It's just, you hear like
allegorical. Yeah, but I'm a whole note guy, and I like that he does a lot of whole notes and shit. But at the same time, I am like you. I want something to stick out. I want
something to sing to. I mean, you know, something to at least or feel.
There's nothing like that on this record. Like we talked about the pot earlier. It's so easy to it hits you in the face first thing. Who are you to wave your finger? What? You must have been out your head.
Yeah, and no one has ever listened to Tool before. If that pops to them,
yeah, it just pops, and nothing that Maynard did pops. He's doing some really, it's like he's hitting some good notes. It's Maynard. But there's nothing like I'm sitting here right now. I can't tell you one line that's memorable because I don't remember any of it. All I'm digging is the rhythms of Tool, because that's what Tool does. They write hypnotic shit, so you can just put it on in the background and you're just sort of, it's sort of whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're going to sit down and if you're going to break everything down, like you like to, like we all hear break shit down differently, you know.
Right.
But for what I wanted and what I wanted to hear, was it worth the wait? Was it worth 13 years? No, it wasn't. I'm sorry, it wasn't. I didn't feel it was. But at the same time, I don't hate the record.
Right.
I don't hate it. I listened to it. I was like, man, you know, and I hear newer things and newer little things that's going on in the background and stuff the more I listen to it. But at the same time, it doesn't really change the structure of the song. It's like, oh, that's a cool little part. But at the same time, you know, it don't change the fact that the song is just, it's just, you know, it just is what it is. And I feel too, you know, I think me and Falcon talked earlier about how it's like four guys who really almost don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
They're all four guys doing their own thing. If you look just what Maynard does on his own.
Yeah.
That dude's busy all the time. He's got his winery. He's opening businesses. Doing, you know, Pussifer. And, you know, Pussifer's very hit or miss with me, but the good Pussifer songs are out of this world. But at the same time, he's writing with musicians who are ready to go.
Right.
And ready to get that out there. And the other guys in Tool, they're like him. They're all in their own little world right now. So it almost feels like coming together to do a Tool record is an inconvenience for them. Used to be. And so now it comes together. But even though they're all talented guys, every musician in Tool is super talented.
Yeah, there's nothing that's completely horrible or anything about the album. It's just,
well,
there's that in between. Well, Falcon's going to have a disagreement about that.
This is Tool.
But when you're between that and you're between not being great, that's still not a good thing.
It's
especially like, for Tool.
Like Chappell was saying earlier too. It's, you know, the guys, they really seem like they did this to appease just almost like fans to an extent. Like, okay, look, we put an album out. It's like, to me, I don't think that I there's no melody. I you can tell if you watch any of the Joe Rogan's interviews with Maynard that he's just been waiting to do this for forever. He's not really had much say in the setup of all the songs. So it's like, he's just been waiting. And honestly, how the hell can you write a melody to half that stuff? Like what they've got written is not really writing melodies. I mean, it's just, it's just sounds and just too much. And I feel like Danny Carey's drums didn't feel human. They were all just almost sounding like they could have been a drum machine to me. Like, I feel like they just tried so hard to make a Tool album. Tool became too much Tool.
Right, well,
I think that's part of the problem.
I kind of get that statement. I kind of do, and I kind of don't. I don't feel quite the way you do about Dana's drumming, but I do. I don't think it's his best drumming, but I do think it's still Dana does all these little cool.
All of his gym. We agree on that. All the stuff that's not his just basic drum kit stuff, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
All that stuff. He's always been the man. You can tell. I mean, it's what was that Music Is Win video where he mentions, you know, you can hear or know who a drummer is just by his djembe sound, you know, when you hear him, because he's so iconic on that. But I just thought his feels and stuff, I mean, again, like part of Danny Carey's stuff is that he's a great someone to play air drums to on any of their stuff, you know. And this album, there's not a part that I, you know, it's just all the feels I just thought felt like generic. I mean, I just feel like he did better work. Justin Chancellor's stuff, I mean, he's got that bass tone kind of locked down now.
The tone's great, but it's like, there's not a bass line that's memorable.
Nope, not one.
And I even reached out in the music group, and I was like, bass players, let me know, is there something I'm missing?
No, you know? Just the bass.
Just
the bass that's on the album, I mean, this might as well be Injustice for All.
Oh,
I mean,
oh man. Yeah. And Justice for Justin.
Yeah. I mean, well, Justin Chancellor's a good bass player. He should do better.
Right.
Adam should have done better. Maynard, I kind of see his point more than anyone's. He really didn't have as much part in it, so he's just writing he could to it. I mean, he did, I don't think I could do any better.
You talked about him being on Joe Rogan, not this last,
I haven't
this
seen
latest,
the
not the latest one, interview, but the interview before. He talked about how, like, they would send him something, and then he would write a vocal part for it and send it back, and then when they sent it back to him, Adam had changed something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you can't do that to me.
Yeah.
He was like, I
written this specifically for this. You've changed this. It makes this different. You know, so it's like you got four guys who are just hard-headed assholes who won't, they wanted their part a certain way the whole time. And, you know, it, once Adam would change something, he was like, well, this, you know, this vocal melody doesn't mean the same right here now. It means, you know what I mean? You've changed it, and that's not why I wrote this for this, yeah. You know. And he was like, so, you know, then I'd have to change it again. And then, you know, but like I said, I don't feel like it's four guys who have that passion that they had, you know, it sounds cliche, in their 20s, you know what I mean? Yeah, everybody grows and gets older and things, you know, life changes, things get different.
Well, that's the thing. It makes the album not sound organic to me. It makes it sound like they feel forced to have write what they wrote. And I just don't feel like it was the best product that they could have put out.
I agree. I honestly do. And I didn't want to. But at the same time, like I said, I don't hate it. I just don't. I just expect it more.
Well, yeah. I don't think any of us went into listening to a Tool album wanting to say anything bad or negative about it.
Right.
I think we all were excited about it. But, yeah, that's...
Barnaby has an interesting theory, though, that I'd like him to speak about.
Barnaby, let's hear it.
I think this is pretty cool.
So a coworker of mine and I were discussing the album. Shout out to Gina. I'll tell you to listen to this, and you can hear this.
What up, Gina? Theory
posted
Damn,
on
Gina.
The podcast realm, and she thinks that the lyrics are actually a joke written by Maynard about chocolate chip cookies or cookies in general. And some of her references are actually, like, kind of credible. If you actually look up the game, I think it was called Cookie Crusher or Cookie Clicker.
Yeah,
looked it up earlier.
Clicker.
The background is very, very, very creepily similar to the cover of the Fear Inoculum album.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like, there's the lyric, and I think it's in Tempest where, you know, Maynard says, you know, cookies and cream, or so it would seem, you know, because he actually says the word cookies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, the Tempest is written with the number 7, and it's talking about, like, you know, connecting the album with sevens and whatnot. And apparently one of the songs is, like, something about the chord progression, something to do with sevens or whatnot. I don't remember which, you know, exactly. I'm not that musically talented and whatnot, but it was connected back to, like, you know, like, there being, like, when the chocolate cookie was first became a thing, it was, like, 1937. And then, like, you know, Grandma's Cookies sells 7 different flavors of cookies, and there's all this, like, connection and whatnot. And, like, and she was talking about how it's, like, connected back to, like, you know, like, Maynard's just not writing these lyrics seriously. Like, it's just more of just, like, a joke to where, like, you know, like, I mean, he's made it pretty clear. Maynard does not respect Tool fans. He thinks, you know,
oh, no.
The Tool fans
no,
are, you know, entitled.
His vineyard is, man, he shoots at them.
Yeah, it's like he thinks they're entitled, you know, he doesn't respect their opinions and whatnot, and like, and I could totally see after 13 years, you know, the things he's talked about, he dealt with the other three guys, and, you know, the back and forth, like, and he's got, I mean, let's be honest, you know, Maynard doesn't need Tool at this point, like, I mean, he has a winery, he has two other bands, I mean, and honestly, speaking of the two other bands, that's kind of one of the, I heard a lot of A Perfect Circle on this album.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just really clean, well put together riffs that aren't technically sound. We get it, you know, Justin, Adam, like Danny, you guys are all like super talented, but like you don't expand on that. And like, you know, with the theory on that, it almost kind of seems like, you know, like not everybody really took this album seriously, which I think you guys were just kind of like referencing, you know, where it's just like, it's more just like they're all like, are we doing this now? I guess we're doing this. You know, we need a Tool album. Let's put on a Tool album. Like, whereas they're all kind of beyond this, it seems, but the way they played on this album, I don't feel the passion. I don't feel those like pushing the boundaries of things. It's like everything's like melodically boxed in. You know, mm-hmm. it's like we have this tone. Let's keep this tone. We have this sound. Let's keep this sound. You know, yeah. Like, and then Maynard's like, I'm not going to actually sing. I'm just going to be this like sound in the background. And then we'll have other songs where I don't even sing, and it's not even like you notice any different. And when you're listening to the album as a whole, you kind of don't sometimes. You're like, oh, shit, yeah, Maynard wasn't even on this song, okay. Like, which is a lot different than the last one where he wasn't really on it either, you know. Like, that kind of like, and it's almost like it's like this weird, I hope this isn't the end, honestly. I hope that they take this as a challenge to be like, okay, we'll show you guys some real fucking music, and they come out with an album like 3 or 4 years or something, you know. But I'm afraid they're beyond that. I'm afraid that that's not what they are anymore, and it's just not going to be that. And it's as a Tool fan, it's kind of disappointing. To, like, this is if that whole thing, if Genius Theory is right, if that's what it's become now, where Maynard's just making a joke of all this because he's beyond it, you know, well, like that's sad.
You talk about that, you know, that. And on Anima, they have the one track where, you know, he sounds like a German Nazi dictator.
Yeah.
But it, what it is it's a recipe for devil's food cake. He's just saying it in German. That's all it is. But yeah. They just to show that how it sounds and what you can, you know, it sounds like it could be this evil Nazi dictator almost, you know, because he's speaking in German and he's getting, you know, he keeps getting more and more enthused as it goes on. But yeah, everything is just it's the ingredients to a devil's food cake, if I remember correctly.
And that's one of the things is like, I mean, maybe this always has been a joke to Maynard. Like, maybe this whole time it's just been a joke.
He's a comedian too.
Like, yeah,
I mean, like, that's what I was saying earlier. It would not surprise me if this whole album was a joke. If years later he came out and said this,
all the shit
all
he said
joke.
About like people who like, you know, enjoy Tool and we've been asking them for another album, he, like, he thinks, you know, like that we're entitled and we don't deserve this and whatnot.
He's like, bye, Christopher.
Right, yeah. He's like, have you heard my other bands?
And honestly, I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I like the A Perfect Circle record that came out last year.
I like it
a lot
than
more than this
as well. I really enjoyed it.
We shouldn't be saying that. It's like if Tool was still what we thought Tool was,
yes,
right, we wouldn't be saying
it's
that.
Like I should never be saying that, but yeah, I thought it was great. Barnaby, what do you give this out of 10?
I'm 5 at most.
5.
It's average.
What's your favorite song if you had to pick one?
Descending or Invincible? Like, I mean, like, I know you guys just dogged Invincible earlier, but, like, for me, like, it's the one that sounds the closest to 10,000 Days, which I love 10,000 Days.
That.
It's a great fucking album. Right. And their tones were all the same, but it's like it. And for me, like, it's the whole fucking album was this build up that went nowhere. Like,
right.
It's just like they kept,
right.
like,
and, like,
this cool riff,
favorite.
Okay, and then where does it go?
Yeah.
That's the riff. That's the whole fucking song. Like, okay,
and
that's
like
fair.
Chapel's like, favorite is Tempest, and that seems to be 90% of people that's listening to this album. That is their favorite song. What do you think? Do you think it was
Tempest
that's
is great.
Worth the build up?
Like, I mean, and honestly, like your idea of like, you know, playing the album backwards is you get rid of the worst song and then you hear the best song and then you're like average Tool for 40
minutes.
I'm
telling you, it was a lot more enjoyable. It was really way more enjoyable the second time I listened to it that way. Because you get it out of the way. And you get a decent song the second track. So, but Falcon, what'd you give it out of 10?
I got 4.
4? Really?
I don't think I'm listening to it again.
Okay. I give it the highest rate.
All right.
I mean, it's just my favorite song off is Jambi. I mean, that's what I feel. my favorite, that's what I feel like. It's just an extent.
And,
it's like,
I mean,
it's like bad DLC for 10,000 Days.
I mean,
it's his favorite off the record.
That's pretty much all you need to know how he feels about
it.
Really,
like, it's okay,
I mean,
but will I ever pop this in again? No, I will say I do want to note. I thought the production of the album is fucking unreal.
It's
I really
great.
Think
yeah.
the production
I
side
agree.
Of it, everything, the sound, the mixing, the engineering is unreal. I gotta give it like a 12 out of 10 on that. That's but all that stuff that Tool didn't do. Everything that Tool did, just take it away.
I agree, and
bring
I know nothing. I know close to nothing about any of that, and I can still see how the production is great. Because
they
this album.
The sounds, the bass, the guitar, the drums, everything sounded good.
Yeah.
But the playing wasn't there.
But imagine if the production wasn't so great on this. What would it be lower than a 4?
I mean, what's lower than a 4? That's like grade F food. You just kind of just
3, 2, 1.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's below 4. I mean, that's pretty rough. I don't ever want to put Tool in that category. And hopefully, I won't ever have to. This may be the last one they do, and they can stick at the 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing to go around and hear, you know, all this negativity about Tool, and you wish it wasn't like this, but I'm not going to be any different than these three guys. My favorite track is it Culling Voices. Yeah, that's my favorite, just because.
Lame.
I know, and I'm sure that's probably everybody's least favorite. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate anything about it. I thought it was well produced. There's nothing horrible about it, but it's a bunch of build up. that leads to basically nothing. Tempest is a good song, but I don't think it is good enough to listen to, what, 40 minutes or so full of nothing, really.
I literally drove all the way to Winston and back last night and had not got to Tempest yet. And that's starting in front of my house. Like, drove all the way there and back and still not got the Tempest yet.
Yeah, and Tempest is a good song, but it's still, like, it'd be in Chapel's top 10, but I don't think it'd be.
Not in top 5.
It might be in my top 15, maybe, but,
You guys are crazy. You guys are out of your fucking skull. Here, you didn't know Charlotte's whiskey.
Tell him I do.
Tell him
I do.
It's right here.
Yeah. But, yeah. 10,000 Days is, it's far superior in my mind. I want to go around and do this before I finish my thoughts, too. Chapel, what is this rate? Is this your least favorite Tool album?
I mean, maybe it ties with, no, it may be my least favorite. I think I like it even less than Ladder Alice. And it's not that I don't even hate Ladder Alice. Right. I didn't feel like it was a step up. But this definitely didn't feel like a step up after 13 years. So, what can you say? So, it may be my least favorite. It's definitely my least listened to.
Right. Falcon, your least?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It, to me, I don't know if anyone caught the Primus album that came out a couple years ago, The Goblin, there's the Saturating Seven. That's a good album, but am I going to ever listen to it again? Like, probably not. I mean, it's like, it does what it's supposed to do. It sounds like a Primus kind of weird album, but that's what this Tool one is to me. It's like, it sounds like a Tool album. It's not like a good Tool album. Sadly, no.
Barnaby?
Yeah, it's probably the worst one.
I it sucks to say that. 13 years we waited. Now it's just like, yeah, we can put this at the bottom of the fucking Tool playlist. Like, and that's sad. And that's why part of me hopes this isn't the last one, but like, fuck, what if it gets worse?
Right.
What if the next album's even lazier? Like, you know, like, what? Like, fuck, man. But I'm still going to listen to, you know, the Tool songs I love, but fuck, yeah, man. Like,
really? Yeah, yeah.
They've not turned me off Tool by any means.
Look,
they weren't that bad.
And Ozzy's not.
Yeah.
Every, you know, album's not been a hit.
And none of us, I don't think any of us are being irrational about our thoughts that, like, we're not going to boycott Tool. We're not going to do anything like that.
No.
We just don't like
it,
you know.
They are still better.
Right. Chapel's going to see him in Raleigh.
Than Taylor Swift. I will say that as a definite, they're better than Taylor Swift.
I will say that.
Well, I don't know.
That new Taylor Swift album is fire compared to this Tool thing.
Falcon gave it 9.5.
That we will disagree on, and I don't even have to hear the Taylor Swift
album. Falcon gave Lover a 9.5. He gave this one a 4. I gave Lover a 9.25. I'm going to give this one a 6.
Ooh. I give the Taylor Swift album a negative 99.
You don't count. Your opinion doesn't count.
So, I like Famous Monsters by Misfits better than I like Taylor Swift.
You shut your mouth.
Well, I'm glad we got that on fucking.
He likes the Famous Monsters at least better than one album.
I'm just
album
cutting that clip
gents
out just to use. So, I like Famous Monsters.
We're
going to
use
Famous
it as
Monsters
everything.
You're like, I have the footage.
We'll make a whole skit of like you and like paper it together. I like Famous Monsters.
Oh, that's great. So glad you said that. All we needed was Taylor Swift as a catalyst for it.
Thanks again, Tay-Tay, for all you've done.
Oh, boy. But, I mean, yeah, there you go, guys. I appreciate y'all listening. That was our thoughts on Tool's Fear. Inoculum. I appreciate the and the Polar Boys being on here. They're gracious guests and hosts to me. Yeah, that's about it. Appreciate y'all. Say bye.
See ya.
Thanks for coming.